I emphasize the distinction between cause and stimulus on practical and tactical, as well as on philosophical grounds. I'd like to illustrate this point by returning to the dialogue I referred to earlier with John, that prisoner in Sweden. As you recall, John said, 3 weeks ago I made a request to the prison officials, and they still haven't responded to my request. And then I asked John, so when this happened, you felt angry because what? What was going on in you that made you angry? John, I just told you they didn't respond to my request. I said, hold it. Instead of saying I felt angry because they, stop and become conscious of what you're telling yourself that's making you so angry. John said, I'm not telling myself anything. And I said, hey, John, slow down. Stop. Just listen to what's going on inside yourself. John stopped and reflected for a few moments, and then he said, well, I'm telling myself that they have no respect for human beings. They're a bunch of cold, faceless bureaucrats who don't give a damn about anybody but themselves. They're a bunch of... And I interrupted him. I said, hold it. That's enough. That's enough. Look at all that's going on in you. That's why you're angry. You have that thinking going on. He said, well, what's wrong with thinking that way? I said, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with thinking that way. Notice I'm just trying to say that it's this thinking that is causing you to be angry. I'm not saying you shouldn't judge people. You shouldn't think in this way. If I did, I'd be doing the very thing. No, all I want you to do is see that when you see people that way and think about them that way, it's that thinking on your part that makes you angry. Now I'd like you to try something else. Now look for your needs that are being expressed through that message. You see, remember what I told you earlier, John. All of the judgments that make us angry are really expressions of needs. The needs are at the root of this. A need of yours isn't getting met. So focus on your need that wasn't met by their action. John deliberated about this for quite a long while, and then he said, Marshall, I need the training I'm requesting. If I don't get that training, just as sure as I'm sitting here, I'm going to end up back in this prison when I get out. I said, now, John, now that your attention is on your needs, how are you feeling right now? He said, scared. I said, okay, now put yourself in the shoes of a prison official. Pretend like I'm an inmate. Am I more likely to get my needs met if I come to you saying, hey, I really need that training and I'm scared of what's going to happen if I don't get it? Or if I approach while seeing you as a faceless bureaucrat? Even if I don't say those words out loud, my eyes will reveal that kind of thinking is going on in me. Which way am I more likely to get my needs met? John sat staring at the floor, silent. I said, hey, buddy, what's going on? John said, I can't talk about it right now. 3 hours later, John approached me and said, Marshall, I wish you had taught me 2 years ago what you taught me this morning about anger. I wouldn't have had to kill my best friend. All violence, I believe, is the result of people tricking themselves, as did this young prisoner, into believing that their pain derives from other people and that those people deserve to be punished for what they did. One time I saw my younger son take a 50-cent piece from his sister's room. I said, Brett, did you ask your sister whether you could have that? He answered, I didn't take anything from her. Now, I had several options. I could call him a liar, which would, however, have worked against my getting my needs met, since any judgment of another person diminishes the likelihood of our needs being met. Where I focused my attention at this moment was critical. If I were to judge him as lying, it would point me in one direction. If I were to interpret that he didn't respect me enough to tell the truth, I would be pointed in another direction. If, however, I were either to empathize with him at that moment, or express nakedly what I was feeling and needing, I would greatly increase the possibility of getting my needs met. The way I expressed my choice, which in this situation turned out helpful, was not through what I said, but through what I did. Instead of judging him as lying, I tried to hear his feelings. I guessed he was scared, and his need was to protect himself against being punished. By empathizing with him, I had the chance of making an emotional connection out of which we both get our needs met. However, if I had approached him with the view that he was lying, even if I hadn't expressed it out loud, he would have been less likely to feel safe expressing truthfully what had happened. If I had judged him as a liar, that very act of judging him, whether I said it out loud, would make it very hard for him to respond. People can tell when they're being judged by our nonverbal behavior as well as our verbal behavior. And then, if I judge a person as a liar, why would that person want to tell the truth? And why would anyone want to be truthful with somebody who judges and punishes? I would like to suggest that when our heads are filled with judgments and analyses that others are bad, greedy, irresponsible, lying, cheating, valuing profit more than life, or behaving in other ways they shouldn't, that we think they shouldn't, very few of them will be interested in our needs. If we want to protect the environment, and we go to a corporate executive with the attitude, "You know, you really are a killer of the planet. You have no right to abuse the land in this way." Even before we've said a word, I think we have severely impaired our chances of getting our needs met. We're not likely to find many human beings who can maintain focus on our needs when we are expressing them through images of their wrongness. Of course, we may be successful in using such judgments to intimidate people into meeting our needs. If they feel so frightened, guilty, or ashamed that they change their behavior, we may come to believe that it's possible to win by telling people what's wrong with them. With a broader perspective, however, we realize that each time our needs are met in this way, we not only lose, but we have contributed very tangibly to violence on the planet. We may have solved an immediate problem, but we will have created another one. The more people hear blame and punishment, the more defensive and aggressive they become, and the less they will care about our needs in the future. So even if our present need is met, in the sense that people do what we want, we will pay for it later.